Good morning. We're a little bit late this morning. We do have our Thanksgiving potluck afterwards and stuff, and trying to get ready for that. But good morning. I want to open up by talking about a scientific principle. It's called the Heisenberg principle. Ever heard of the Heisenberg principle? It is German. It was a German scientist. That's why it's called Heisenberg. Heisenberg, he is the one who developed the uncertainty principle. He said, no matter how much information you have, you don't have all the information. There's always an uncertain principle. Matter of fact, in a lot of formulas that scientists have, they have a symbol called mu, which is a Greek letter. That's the universal fudge factor. And the Heisenberg principle is such that that's why all the engineers draw things up and this way it should work, and when they try to make it work, it fails because there's a lot of things they did not know. If you had all the factors you could put in, then you could be sure what you're doing, but there's always more unknown than what we know. That's the Heisenberg principle. And the reason why I mentioned the Heisenberg principle is that was what we have here in this case in 2 Samuel 19 with Mephibosheth. Because Ziba told David a story about Mephibosheth. And so David, makes this snap decision based on it. Then when he talks to Mephibosheth, it's a totally different story. And so you must know with your own kids, you're not quite sure you got the whole story, right? You know, your one kid says this and the other kid says that. And so you got this Heisenberg principle going that there's certain things that aren't being told. And Heisenberg principle is very much at play in the counseling table. Where I sit there and I'm hearing different stories from the two spouses, and you're thinking there's missing pieces to this puzzle. There are things not being said that would be key to helping. And that's one of the ironic things about counseling, by the way, is the fact that if you want your counselor to help you, you need to be able to give all the information, right? Same with your doctor. It doesn't help to hide the doctor. Remember, we had a guy at school who, before he would go to the doctor on his triglycerides, would fast and drink water so his numbers would look good. That misses the point. I mean, oh, your numbers look good. Well, yeah, during the rest of time, it doesn't look so good. So that causes a problem, you know. And so that's the Heisenberg principle. If you don't take anything away today, you can take that away. That's the uncertainty principle. There's always facts that you don't know. And matter of fact, there's usually facts you can never know. Yeah, it might be. Exactly. You know. And by the way, the Heisenberg principle is very much at work in our lives because God knows everything we don't, right? We don't. And so we have to work on what we do know. And so we pick up the story here in 2 Samuel 19, verse 24. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace. And so it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I will ride on it and go to the king because your servant is lame. And he has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore do what is good in your eyes. For all my father's house were dead men before the Lord your king. Yet You set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I to still cry out any more to the king? And the king said to him, why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, rather let him take it all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. Now when David had fled to Jerusalem, Ziba and his whole household went with him. And Ziba was, of course, the servant, and along with his sons, of Mephibosheth, who was the son of Jonathan, who was the son, of course, of Saul, you know. So to show kindness to Jonathan, who had passed away in battle, he shows kindness to his son Mephibosheth. Now Mephibosheth was a lame man. He was lame because when the battle where Saul was defeated, where Jonathan was defeated, the Philistines were coming, the nursemaid at Gibeah was afraid that Jonathan would be killed. He's 5 years old. She takes him up. She runs out. She drops him on rocks and crushes his feet. And so from that point on, this young man was lame. Now, when David showed kindness to Mephibosheth, because he wanted to show kindness to Jonathan, he made Ziba the servant of Mephibosheth to take care of all his lands. So Ziba had come and concocted a story when he left with David. He said, well, where's Mephibosheth? Where's your master? He says, oh, he said that, you know, in this battle, you know, however it comes out, they might put me back on the throne in the place of my grandfather Saul. David is totally incensed by this, and unfortunately for David, this is pattern. Instead of checking things out, he makes a snap decision. Okay, you have all Mephibosheth's land. And so David gives the land to Mephibosheth, and Ziba had pulled this fast one. Now here comes David back into the land. Absalom is dead. His army's defeated. The tribes of Israel bringing David back to Jerusalem. And Mephibosheth comes down. Now, this had been quite a sight as well as smell. I mean, he had not washed since David had left. He had not trimmed his, you know, toenails. He had not washed his feet. He had not changed clothes. He had not trimmed his hair. I mean, he had washed his hair. And it just had to be pretty gross in mourning over David. And so, matter of fact, it's probably quite unhealthy. Probably never caught a cold because people stayed away from him, right? Mephibosheth shows great contrition and joy that David's coming back. And David asks the logical question, right? Why didn't you come with me? Now, David had already heard Ziba's story. But David knew something. That should not have struck him, right? Because Mephibosheth was not a leader of men. He was a rather retiring, contrite, skittish type of guy. Definitely didn't have his father's, you know, boldness or bravery. And for him to think somehow he was going to be put on the throne of Israel, that just didn't seem, you know, like reality. It just didn't make sense. But so he asked him, and he says, you know, when he comes down there, here's this same guy he remembered that he left, that is a skittish, retiring guy. He really was not impressive. He's far less impressive when he didn't shave and didn't wash, and didn't, you know. And so he's looking at this pitiful, pitiful man. And so Mephibosheth says, my servant has deceived you and has slandered me. He says, Ziba was supposed to go saddle a donkey for me because I'm lame. I can't do these things on my own. And so therefore, and he never came back. He just left and left me behind. Instead of preparing a donkey, he left. Now here comes that uncertainty principle. David is suspicious of both stories. It was obvious that Ziba told a lie. I mean, this guy, I mean, imagine David couldn't even imagine this guy, you know, leading a small band, let alone leading a nation, you know, or troops. He says, Ziba's story just didn't make any sense at all. However, if Mephibosheth could get on a donkey and come to Jerusalem, right, to meet David, why couldn't he before get on a donkey and follow David? You see the contradiction here? Well, if you could come to me now, why couldn't you have come to me earlier? So David is trying to ponder and figure this out. Who is telling the truth? So David says, okay, I don't know which story's true. I don't know which one's part true, not part. So just divide the land between you, right? Just split it up. You know, I don't know what's going on. You know, it was important for Mephibosheth to come with David because he was of the house of Saul. And there still was a group, right, in Israel who were pro-Saul. And remember, Saul would like to see Saul's descendants back on the throne. And that's why we get the Merib problem later on, where all five of her children are taken, because they were descendants of Saul. Matter of fact, someone should write a book. Oh, I did write a book about that. Okay. And so sometimes God doesn't give us all the facts, right? When you're trying to discipline your children, which one's telling the truth, or, right? Which one's partly true or not true? And you're just trying to figure out something doesn't work. So sometimes, unless the Lord reveals things to us and makes it clear, we have to decide based on the information that we have. And so we come here, and when we make a decision, there's three areas that David should have taken care of and we need to take care of. When we make a decision, listen, we should avoid making snap decisions based on circumstantial evidence. We really should, right? Things aren't always what they appear to be, right? They're not always what they appear to be. Secondly, we are guilty of a great injustice if we should have known all the facts, but did not know the facts because we refused to research the facts. Whenever you're in a position of leadership, or position over top of your family, or whatever it is, it's important for you to take the time to find out what the truth is. You know, Proverbs 18:17 is a very, very important principle. It says, every man's case seems right until you talk to his neighbor. You know, early on in counseling, I had to learn this lesson the hard way. You know, when one spouse comes in, gives a story, says, oh man, I just know what's going on here. Then the other spouse comes in and I turn to the guy who tells him the original story. I said, wait a minute, you didn't say that. You left that part out. As a matter of fact, in counseling, it's almost like hide and seek. They're hiding the important information that you need to know to help them. And so here, we should not be lazy when it comes. If we have to make a decision, we should not be lazy in, you know, finding out what the truth is, right? The third thing, it is not always possible to have all the facts, but you need to take the time to make the very best decision you can. Sometimes there is no place where you're totally sure what's going on, but you know you have to make a decision, right? It's in your court. Make the call. Now listen, this is important too. I want to explain it. When we continually make decisions based upon either whim or not tracing down all the facts, there's a loss of confidence and trust in our leadership. You might think back in your childhood where you were treated unfairly, and you thought daddy should have checked it out a little bit better. We won't take testimonies, but or mama should have done a little bit better job, or that siblings always seems to get by with their thing. You know, there's always a sibling in there that causes trouble and steps back and watches the others get in trouble, right? You know, raise your hand. No, don't. And so all the way through, now you forgive, but all the way through you remember that, right? I can remember some instances very vividly. But of course, we're all flawed individuals, right? So Mephibosheth gives a clue what's going on here. This is what I think is going on here. He gives a clue. Notice what he does. Mephibosheth is just glad to see David come alive. He knew. Remember, he says this, and he said it originally when he was put at the king's table. He says, you know, who am I that you give? I deserve this. He could have wiped out all Saul's family, right? He had the power to do it, right? He could have just wiped them all out. Get rid of all the rivals right there. And Mephibosheth knew he could have been a dead man. Remember, when he was first called before the king, he was scared to death. Okay, I'm the grandson of Saul, so therefore I'm a dead man. Secondly, notice what Mephibosheth does. Says, no, just let Ziba take it all. I'm just glad to be at your table. I'm glad you're back. I think what we're dealing with is Mephibosheth is just afraid. Mephibosheth, I don't think, went down to be with David because he was afraid that David might lose and he'd be a dead man. He didn't go to Jerusalem because he's afraid that David would win and he'd be a dead man. So I basically, this guy hid under his bed to find out what was going to happen. I think that's what's really happened. This guy is scared to death. And so I think he just hunkered down to see which way this thing was going to go. And I think that's why he doesn't show up till David comes back. Oh, I've been with you. Oh, I remember early on in the ministry, Pastor, we're behind you. And then you find out they're way behind you. They wait to see what's going to happen, you know, before the thing. And so I think that's what we're dealing with is here you have Mephibosheth is afraid. He doesn't know which way this is going to go. He waits to see which way it's going to end before he comes out. I believe Mephibosheth's a very pitiful figure in the Bible. He really is. And not because he's a lame man. There's been people, biblical characters, who had problems physically, but still showed strength, you know, even in the midst of problems, you know. I mean, you know, Elisha as an old man was still very vibrant as an old man. And Caleb, right? I'm 80 and 5 years old, and I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. Now, you see that, you know, and that's, by the way, I can't say that, but I mean, Mephibosheth is nothing like his father. Jonathan was quite a man, right? He was really bold, he was brave, he was courageous. Mephibosheth is not this guy. And we shouldn't expect him to be. But I believe that's what's happening. I might be wrong, but I believe that's what's happening. This is just a very skittish, afraid of his own shadow type of guy. And by the way, let me mention one thing. I don't want to belabor this point, but you can either let a handicap bring you down and feel sorry for yourself, or you could rise above it, right? I mean, last week we talked about Annie Johnson Flint, and with her rheumatoid arthritis, and she continued to write praises to the Lord. And, you know, you just think of Johnny Erickson Totter, wouldn't let what happened to her hold her down, and she's greatly used to the Lord. Or you can just wallow in your own sorrow, pity. And I think Mephibosheth was one of these type of guys. I hope I'm not being unfair. It just seems that's the way the narrative goes. And so David decides basically to wash his hands. Okay, that's fine. I think Mephibosheth gets back to the table. I don't know if Ziba got all the land or what. Let me mention this on the side, too, before we catch a little discussion here. The scripture tells Mephibosheth had two sons. Did you know that? If all the land's given to Ziba, what happens to his two sons? Don't know. And so this is what we have here. So David takes him back. David would have been glad for Mephibosheth to stand up and declare his allegiance. But Mephibosheth is not going to stand up and declare anything where he has to stick his neck out. He's just not that type of guy. Well, let's pray, and then we'll have a discussion. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the time we had in the scriptures and taking a look at this biblical figure. And there's some who are strong and some who are weak and some who need support and some who need forgiveness. But all, Lord, through the grace of your mercy, Lord, that we deal with it step by step. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.